Worried about letting someone else pick out the perfect avocado for your perfect impress them on the third date guacamole? Well, good thing Instacart shoppers are as picky as you are. They find ripe avocados like it's their guac on the line. They are milk expiration date detectives. They bag eggs like the 12 precious pieces of cargo they are. So let Instacart shoppers overthink your groceries so that you can overthink what you'll wear on that third date. Download the Instacart app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
Joining me right now, former tremendous college quarterback at Alabama. Played quarterback in the NFL and now is a big TV star on ESPN and ESPNU Radio, which is on Sirius XM 84. And that is Greg McElroy. Greg, how you been?
Doing great, fellas. How you doing?
Fantastic. Let me start with your former coach. I thought it was kind of funny how upset he was when he was asked a very simple question after the game about evaluating his two quarterbacks. What was your reaction when you saw your former coach kind of annoyed about that question after Alabama had a nice, solid victory to begin the year?
Well, the more they win by, the more uneasy he always comes across. That's what I've kind of come to realize. And, you know, Saturday was no different. I look at the way he acted, and I thought it was wrong. It was a simple question, and he made it out sound as though Maria Taylor, who asked the question, was trying to get him to say something negative about Jalen Hurts, which, for whatever reason, he is very, very tentative about. So it was not handled well. He's apologized for it, and honestly, I just thought it was a bad look. But at least there's clarity now. Tua Tagovailoa is the starter, and there should be no doubt about that.
And, you know, you hit on something that I think should be stressed with Saban. The guy apologized, and that's fine. I mean, in the heat of the moment, for whatever reason, he took the question the wrong way. He was clearly wrong. But I'm a sucker for a good apology. And if he actually called her, which it sounds like he did, good for him. He moved on, and, you know, we could all live now in this new world. But let me ask you about this decision because – I mean, Jalen Hurts has an incredible win-loss record, and it's unfortunate that he's basically lost this job. But what do you think about this decision to go with Tua as this starting quarterback? And I guess Hurts will come into games at some point in different scenarios.
Well, it's a no-brainer. And Tua is a guy that's just so elite throwing the football that it wasn't really as much about Jalen as it was about Tua. I mean, Tua was the better option, and this offense is just better with him at the helm, because it now has the appearance of an offense that can really challenge you down the field. There's one area of Jalen's game that struggled. It was consistent decision-making, willingness to pull the trigger, and be accurate on throws that travel more than 15 yards downfield. And those three areas he struggled with. So it was almost inevitable that if he didn't improve in those areas, and he hadn't, he'd had 2 years to get better, and he hadn't gotten better. So if he didn't get better in those two areas, then it was going to be someone that was going to probably unseat him. Because if there's one thing that Alabama's offense has always been predicated around, it's the running game involving the running back and the play-action passing game. That's where you have to be good if you're going to play quarterback at a really high level in that offense. And that's where Jalen Hurts fell short. Now, he won a lot of games,
right?
But a lot of people would probably look at that performance and that win-loss record and say, okay, well, how many games did Jalen Hurts win? Or was it a magnificent defense who rivaled anyone in college football over the last 2 years that might have really, really held their own, and Jalen just kind of stayed out of the way and managed the offense the way it was? So it's really one of those things where Tua is just an elite player and probably the best they've had at the position in quite some time.
It's scary watching the other night, watching that Louisville game. And I know Louisville's dealing with replacing Lamar Jackson. Juwan Pass got the start. But their defense, even though they lost a lot of guys, will still probably be elite. I mean, they pitched a shutout in the first half of this game, and now they have an offense that looks dynamic. I mean, just watching them over the weekend, it's kind of scary how good Alabama can be all the way around.
Yeah, and they're always going to be good on defense.
Right. They can lose everybody. It doesn't matter.
Yeah, I mean, you can play their backups. You could just say, all right, every single starter's suspended for this game, and they still probably have a pretty good performance. It's just, they're that deep, guys. It's not that Louisville isn't a good team. They're not. I mean, Louisville's not a great team. They're probably not a team that's going to challenge in the ACC. They were average at best the other night, and they struggled. They really did, especially with a quarterback making his first start. But if you're going to play against Alabama's defense, you got to be decisive with the football and very accurate, and you got to hit some throws down the field. They weren't able to do that consistently the other night, so they had no shot. I mean, Alabama is they're going to force you to make the toughest throw on the field. And if you can consistently do that throughout the course of a game, you got a chance to win. And the quarterbacks that have beat them, Johnny Manziel, Cam Newton, Chad Kelly a couple times while he was at Ole Miss, those guys stood, looked it down the barrel of the gun, and delivered the football, and delivered it accurately on throws that are not high-percentage throws. Alabama plays a statistics game. It's not, you know, it's kind of what it comes down to. They say, all right, how many college quarterbacks can make this throw? Perfect. We're going to force them all to try to make it, and 98% of them aren't going to be able to pull it off, so we're going to win. And that's pretty much what's unfolded. And in order to beat Alabama, and this is as true as the day is long, your quarterback has to be magnificent. And Juwan Pass was nowhere near that the other night. As a result, the game was nowhere near being close.
I saw a magnificent quarterback over the weekend, and that was Will Grier, West Virginia. I mean, that was an unbelievable start to the year. What do you think of Will Grier in West Virginia?
Well, he's a heck of a player. There's no doubt. And, you know, you wonder, too, I mean, what is this offense going to look like? So many expectations, and we kind of spent the whole offseason evaluating what they could become, and they didn't disappoint. Now, let's not get it confused. Tennessee is not the Tennessee of old. They're very average at best on the defensive side of the football, but that's a proud group that hung in there in the first half. But as soon as the rain delay set in, the experience and the explosiveness of West Virginia kind of took over. It wasn't close. And Will Grier's outstanding, and he has been for a few years, even dating back to when he was the quarterback at Florida prior to his suspension. He was one of the better quarterbacks in the country as a redshirt freshman that year. So this has been a long time coming, but now you see him really in complete control of their offense, has great playmakers around him, and should set a lot of records this year.
The game that I think we were most intrigued by over the weekend to check out was Michigan-Notre Dame, the rivalry back together, a lot of expectations for Coach Harbaugh in Michigan. And defensively, you know, Michigan picked it up as the game went on. But right out of the gate, I mean, the Irish were moving the football. That kid, Jafar Armstrong, who I don't think had ever played a game, gets in the end zone right out of the gate. Give me your early returns from that on what you thought from the Michigan defense, and then we'll get to the quarterback situation.
I can't imagine in the Apple you're paying attention to Michigan-Notre Dame. There's no fans of those programs in the city. Come on. It's sidewalk alumni, right? Or what do they call it? I forget exactly what it is. But long story short, a lot of people have kind of come away from this, and they've said, well, Michigan stinks. You know, I'm not willing to go that far. I would actually give more credit to Notre Dame. And the way they made Michigan's offense, they just never allowed them to get into a rhythm. I mean, they were constantly harassing Shea Patterson. They were forcing Michigan into difficult down and distance situations. The offensive line was getting run through on a regular basis. And then I look at Notre Dame's offense, and yeah, the second half wasn't great, but the first half was plenty, man. They made some throws and some catches, and really the first quarter more than even the second quarter, I thought Brandon Wimbush really delivered on some of those throws, and his receivers went up and made plays for him. I mean, those were plays that weren't being made on a consistent basis last year. And I've said it. I've said it a couple times over the last few days. Michigan or Notre Dame will not play a defense the rest of the year outside of maybe Virginia Tech here in a few weeks that's as good as the one they just played last Saturday. I mean, that's a really good defense with really good personnel, and Notre Dame was up to the task. They didn't run the ball probably as efficiently as they would like, especially what they're accustomed to given the way they played last year. But that was a really good starting point for a team that really kind of needed to win it, because Brian Kelly, there's a lot of negativity surrounding that program over the last couple of years, and there's speculation, okay, well, is he really going to be there for the long haul, or is he want to test his game in the NFL or something along the lines of that? And this was a huge game, because the loser of this game is going to have so many negative questions, and look at Michigan. They're receiving that right now. And Notre Dame had to have it. They did get it, and man, they really are looking like a legit playoff contender after that win.
Yeah, and I don't think it's that Michigan stinks, though. You're right. You know, you check Twitter at the end of that game or even the middle of that game, you're going to get a lot of that sentiment. I think it's that the expectations are so high, and people just don't like Coach Harbaugh to begin with. And I think they look and say, well, they got to do better than what they've done the last 3 years. They have to finish higher than third in the Big Ten. I mean, they have to do better than that. And I don't know if there was any sign that they can, especially when the schedule gets tougher and they got to play Wisconsin and Michigan State. So I don't think they stink, but it feels as if they're never going to fulfill that potential that maybe a lot of people thought they'd have when Harbaugh took the job.
And that's fair, and people have been critical of just how archaic his offense might appear relative to other college teams. But I'm just not willing to completely write him off just yet. I mean, to expect any team that is replacing a quarterback, that has a new quarterback, that has a bunch of new players, that just lost their best wide receiver, and has some really good pieces on defense, but not a lot of identity offensively, to expect them to go on the road to a top 10 team and do work is not really the easiest thing in the world to consider. And I know exactly what you mean. So many people are being critical. Say, oh, well, in his last 18 games, Jim Harbaugh's 9-9. I mean, why 18? If you go back over the course of his entire tenure, he's like 15-3 in those 18 games before. So I think it's easy to be critical and understandable because Jim Harbaugh is such a lightning rod for criticism. I mean, he's just he gets a lot of attention. Some people don't think it's well-deserved, and as a result, they want to be really critical when things don't go well for him. But, man, I still continue to respect his process. And if you look at the rest of the Big Ten East, the rest of their schedule that they're going to play, now it's a gauntlet now. I mean, it doesn't get any easier because they still have the likes of Ohio State and Wisconsin and Penn State and Michigan State. But Penn State and Michigan State looked pretty average last week. Ohio State looked really good, but they gave up 31 points to Oregon State. And Wisconsin looked outstanding, but, I mean, Wisconsin is kind of who we thought they were. They're very veteran. They should look good in week one. So I guess if I'm Michigan, I'd look at the people around me and say, okay, you know what? We weren't the only ones that had a bad performance. Maybe all is not lost. Let's focus on the details, try to get a little better, and, you know, try to improve a little faster than the other teams that laid eggs last weekend.
Hey, speaking of one of those eggs, and you just touched on it, and it's connected to Michigan, because when I think of big upsets sometimes, I think of Appalachian State beating Michigan, and they almost did it again against Penn State. They gave up 28 points in the fourth quarter, and that would have been, I mean, catastrophic for the Nittany Lions. What did you think about that, with Appalachian State almost pulling off another upset 11 years to the date? I didn't even realize that, 11 years to the date of when they stunned Michigan.
Yeah, it was crazy. I mean, and if you sleep on App State, good luck.
Yeah.
I mean, like, they'll bust you up in a heartbeat. Like, App State has really good coach in Scott Satterfield that's been there forever and knows exactly how to get his players ready to go in a game like that. And it would have been catastrophic for Penn State. It really would have. Because we're all sitting there thinking, okay, what are they going to look like without Saquon Barkley? The running back, he's a great player, but is he replaceable? The wide receivers are great. The defense should be really good. This team can make the playoff if all goes according to plan. And they've hung in there with the best teams in the country over the last couple of years. They beat Washington in the Fiesta Bowl. They beat Ohio State 2 years ago, almost beat them in Columbus last year. Like, Penn State's about to break through this year. And then, sure enough, week one, looking ahead to Pitt next week. I know that's a rivalry game. That's an in-state rivalry game, and they didn't have their best stuff, especially on the defensive side. But you got to give credit to App State, too, man. I mean, that quarterback, sure. Zach Thomas, which I found funny. I mean, Zach Thomas hung in there like the old linebacker and was throwing BBs. I mean, that guy was all over the place. It was NFL accuracy from a group of five quarterback against a power five team. You don't see that every day. And it was a heck of a game, probably the game of the weekend as far as energy and excitement and possible suspense.
Sure. Now, for the local crowd here in the New York area, would you take the 34.5 with Rutgers against the Buckeyes?
34.5. I'd take the points.
You're going to take
the points? I'd take the points. Ohio State's defense looked a little shaky. If I'm really trying to become a degenerate, I'm taking Ohio State team over. Because I look at that offense. They are ridiculous, guys. I mean, really good. Unbelievable four-headed monster at running back. Wide receivers that you can go 8 or 9 or 10 deep and not really miss a beat. An offensive line that's really big and will lean on you. But I'm a little concerned about their defense. Second level especially. Linebackers were very average the other day. Relative to what Ohio State standard usually is. They're inexperienced too, so it's not shocking. The defensive line, they're animals. Those guys are studs up front with Nick Bosa and Draymond Jones and all those guys. But linebackers are pretty average. I would take the points because Rutgers is one of those teams that's really improved over the last 2 years under Chris Ash. And he knows that program really well since he coached there. But, man, Ohio State's going to score some points. It just matter whether or not Rutgers can score 14 or 21 to try to hang within that number.
Well, now that we have legal gambling in New Jersey, I'm going to make this bet. And so if I lose, I'm going to blame you. So it'll be all
right. Now, let me know. I'm good. I just want a commission on both sides.
Oh, yeah, you got it.
I want a little bit of the juice from the book. And I want a little commission for giving you the right lead.
You got it. It's all there. Greg, I appreciate it.
Can't lose on this deal. That's a great deal.
Exactly. Thank you for popping on, Greg. I appreciate it.
All right, fellas. Be good.
Greg McElroy, ESPNU, ESPN, SiriusXM.
We get it. Attention spans just aren't what they used to be. Heads in social media and eyes on Netflix. But what do people do with their ears? Well, for one, they're listening to audio. Americans spend 4.4 hours with audio every day. Oh, and you want the proof? Well, you just sat through this ad that's now approaching 30 seconds. What could you say to a potential customer in 30 seconds? Let Odyssey put together a media plan tailor-made for your unique marketing needs. Advertise with Odyssey. Visit ads.odyssey.com.